Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning, and let's say hello to Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Doc, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Bob. How about yourself?
Okay. Anxious to hear the latest on the coronavirus. Now there's a case in Arizona. What else do we know as of this morning?
Yeah, you know, we have the fifth case here in the United States, obviously starting to maybe get a little bit more concern. The death rate has gone up a little bit as well. And I think what we're really concerned about right now, Bob, is are we getting the true numbers and the true story out of China? Experts over the weekend really started to look at the concern that can we even contain this now, or will this end up going worldwide over the next, you know, weeks or months?
Yes, I saw a report also that was interesting on, I think it was CNN, about how much misinformation is out there now on the internet. And I guess this is going to continue as the story continues, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, because people are just throwing numbers out there and it kind of gets a little crazy at times. I think if you just stop and look objectively at how we're trying to contain this, and is it possible? So when I say that, if you look at the quarantine of this, the hot point, we'll say, in Wuhan City, you know, if you look at that and say, okay, well, how long can we sustain a complete quarantine there? Because until all the individuals either have the virus or the virus has petered out in that area, how do you open the gates again and spread? Because, you know, when you look at how small the world is getting right now, you know, this is already in 14 different countries, 60 cases outside of the central area there. So that's the epidemiologist concerns right now, is how are we going to contain this? What are we going to do if it does spread? Because it will take a while before we've come up with medications or vaccines.
We keep hearing about how there are many different types of this coronavirus. Is it one type, though, in particular that we're concerned about?
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting when we talk about coronaviruses, there's seven types of coronaviruses right now. The four of them are the four that we know the most about are that we call the common ones, the human ones. Everyone who's listening today has had a coronavirus. It gives you that upper respiratory viral infection. It's a quote-unquote cold. Our body has seen those. And then there's three we call novel coronaviruses. One was SARS that came out in 2002. Contained it fairly quickly, only about 8,000 cases, but it had a 10% mortality rate. So 800 people died for that, but it was contained, and we haven't seen any cases since 2004. And then MERS, which has been very sporadic in the Middle East, and then now with the one from China. So those are the three that we're the most concerned about, right? You know, that affected humans the most, and right now, obviously, the one in China.
How?
These viruses, Bob, come from animals. These are zoonotic viruses that leap from animals, mutate from animals to humans.
We're talking to Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine. Doc, how do we know the difference between a common cold and this coronavirus?
Yeah, Bob, that's one of the biggest problems. Here we are right in the middle of influenza season, and yet trying to find that needle in the haystack, as most symptoms of both illnesses are very much the same. So for influenza, we know we get fever, cough, body aches, shortness of breath. Well, for the coronavirus, as we do with many upper respiratory viruses, the symptoms are exactly the same. So here we're trying to, you know, find the ones, find like the needle in the haystack and make sure we isolate that person. Because for those of us who walk around with influenza or a common cold, we're certainly not going to isolate you in a hospital to maintain you from spreading that.
And is this like the flu where the elderly and young children are most affected or can be seriously affected?
We would assume that. You know, we haven't heard about the demographics of those who have died, so that's the one question that we're out there that's a little bit concerning. But we know you know, from the individuals that have been here in the United States, the five individuals have not been deathly ill. You know, they said, well, they're in the hospital. Well, they're in the hospital more to protect all of us than to treat them. So they're getting supportive treatment in the hospital, but it's not, it probably wouldn't be necessary. That's the part that's a little bit scary, as if you think about the whole spectrum of this, certainly you have people who are severely ill and pass away, but you have other people who have minor symptoms that are still spreading the virus. So that's the big spectrum, and how do you contain that is a concern.
And as far as the treatment, how are doctors treating patients with this virus?
Yeah, right now it's all supportive measures. So we give them oxygen as much as we possibly can, keep their fluids up, keep their fever down. But we don't have a vaccine. The antiviral medications are really specific for the influenza virus. So it's kind of like if you took an antibiotic that was good for pneumonia, may not be the same antibiotic that's good for a urinary tract infection because it's different bacteria. So we get the specificity of the medication to fight the illness that we're concerned about. Unfortunately, we don't have those. If we did, then we'd have a medication for, quote-unquote, the common cold, right? The coronavirus common colds. So instead, it's all supportive measures right now in the hopes that the body's immune system can eliminate the virus before it does any harm.
A text from 815, since this virus and the common cold are corona, will the flu vaccine provide any cross-immunity?
No. No, unfortunately, it doesn't. The flu vaccine is specific for the influenza virus. Certainly, it makes our immune system a little bit more on edge, or at least turned on. But you can certainly get a common cold after you got the influenza virus because the two viruses are completely different.
So this has been an unusual season for pediatric viral infections, hasn't it?
It really has. You know, we feel sorry for anybody who has influenza. But the kids have been hit pretty hard this year for two reasons. One, the influenza B, and two, the RSV virus, which is a very common virus, was very bad, you know, in December and early January and really hit the kids hard. And then one that people probably say, God, I've never heard of that, the human metapneumovirus, again, hit children very hard to a point where we did not have any pediatric intensive care beds in the city of Chicago for a period of about 10 days.
We're talking with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine. It's 10 before 7. Talk more about the treatment of viruses and colds in children, Doc, the medications and the treatment that you think is best.
Yeah, you know, if you walk down the Walgreens or Jewel or whatever where you're going to go and get any cold medications, it is an entire row of very colorful boxes that try to grab your attention that say, oh, we can treat this, treats everything from colds to runny nose to coughs. We really have to realize a couple of things with children. One, be very, very careful when you're giving those. Those should be dosed based on their weight, not on their age. Not every three-year-old weighs the same as every other three-year-old, so be very, very careful there. And two, for the most part, they don't work. So that's probably the biggest thing. We might be saying, oh, we're going to give it to them to make ourselves feel better, but they really don't work. And probably the most important thing is don't give them to anybody under the age of four.
And for all of us, you still say washing your hands often is the best way to take care of yourself during this season?
Yeah, you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to prevent it, right? So the viruses are airborne or droplet. You know, they're out in the air. We often get them on our hands. We then touch our face. And once they do, then they get into an environment in the nose and the back of the throat where they thrive. And then we get the symptoms that we want. So if we can prevent that from happening because we know our treatments don't work, that's the best scenario that we can have. If we're going to wait and hope for treatment for regular, whether it's a human coronavirus or the future one, that's going to take a little while. So really it's going to be, what can we do to prevent this? Then what can we do to treat it?
Do you expect to see more cases of the coronavirus in the U.S. before things get better and under control?
Absolutely. I think we're going to start to see more. I think right now, you know, we say, well, how can that happen? Aren't we screening people when they come into the airport now? And we certainly are. But unfortunately, every virus has what we call an incubation period. In other words, I have the virus in my body. It is starting to multiply. but yet I don't have any symptoms. I'm not coughing. I don't have a fever. I look and I feel totally fine. So if that has, if that's how my condition as I walk through an airport, they're not going to say, stop that guy. He has the coronavirus. Now, 3 days later, I start to cough, I start to get a fever, and I go, wow, I was just in China. I should be concerned here. Those are the individuals who are at least stepping forward. But until we get to that point, we're really going to have concerns because, like I said, some people have minor symptoms that they're not going to go to the doctor for, and yet they can spread this very easily.
Are some of us overreacting? I was watching the news over the weekend, and a lot of people, I guess, had canceled plans to celebrate the Chinese New Year in Chinatown because of the virus. I saw lots of pictures of people wearing masks, stores selling out of masks. What's your take on all that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Bob. If you really stop and think about it, the number of cases and the chance of exposure here in the United States is so low. But think about influenza. You know, we have millions of cases of influenza every year. We have hundreds of thousands of hospitalizations. We have, unfortunately, about 40,000 deaths in the United States from influenza each year. If anything, I would say if you didn't get an influenza vaccine, go ahead and wear a mask because you have a much higher chance of getting influenza than you do coronavirus. And just because your individuals are going towards Chinatown, it is not going to increase your chances of that, but you certainly have those chances for influenza.
Talking about vaccines reminds me, just one more thing here before we let you go. The shingles vaccine, you recommend that for people of a certain age, and is that something you get every year or just once?
No, you need two of them, actually, but yes, you would get it. I'll say you get the vaccine once, but it comes in two shots 6 months apart. And anyone over the age of 50, we have to remember that most of us have been exposed to chickenpox, so that virus is living in our body. It's just contained. You know, it just kind of sits there, it smolders, and it just kind of replicates enough to stay alive until our immune system drops, whether it's due to stress, whether it's due to an illness, and then it pops out and it starts to multiply, and it multiplies along a nerve root. And it really is a very uncomfortable, very debilitating to patients. And even after the virus is gone, the nerve can stay inflamed, so you can have a lot of pain. If you ask Dave Ennett about his case with shingles, you know, it is one that once you've had it, you certainly would get it.
And so it's two shots, but you only have to get it one time?
That's what it appears right now. It's only been out for a couple years, but we're hoping that it'll cover, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. So those individuals who get it when they're 50, you know, will have lifelong immunity.
Yeah, and is it brought on by stress? Do we know what causes the shingles? Because, you know, I keep hearing stress, and so, of course, I'm freaked out about that, being a hypochondriac.
Right, absolutely. You know, when we are stressed, our immune system goes down. When we're stressed, we don't eat as well, so our nutritional status doesn't keep our immune status up, and then that virus starts to replicate, and boy, you have a full-blown case of shingles. So,
yeah. Dave, do you want to stick your tongue out here so the doc can check you out and make sure you're okay?
See, it doesn't explain how I got it because I have a stress-free life.
we all do here. It's Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine, our weekly house call. Always appreciate it. Good talking to you, Doc. You have a good day.
Take care, Bob. Thanks.